This episode of the Potato Field with Spudman is brought to you by the 1-4 Group Incorporated, a leading supplier of innovative dormancy and sprout inhibiting products for the potato storage industry. They are dedicated to the continued development of new and improved post-harvest chemical applications through collaborative efforts with leading university researchers and private industry. Find out more at 1-4-group.com. Welcome, everybody, to the Potato Field Podcast with Spudman. I'm your host, Zeke Jennings, the editor of Spudman Magazine. Joining me today is Guthrie Laurie, who manages one of Walter Farms' locations. Guthrie is also an honoree of this year's Spudman Dream Team Awards program. Guthrie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Zeke. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Looking forward to our conversation today.
I appreciate your time. And we're both located here in the Mitten State in Michigan, and it is a typical winter day here, but it's a good time to sit down and talk farming, and we're looking forward to doing that with you. So let's start. Walter Farms is locations all over the country, and you manage one that is located in eastern Michigan in Cass City. The home base operation is in southwestern Michigan in Three Rivers. Could you share a little bit about what your role is as far as managing your location and just give us overall details of what you do?
Yeah, sure. Be happy to. So the operation I manage is known in the organization as our Mid-Michigan operation, which, as you mentioned, our office and shop is located in the central part of the Thumb in Cass City. We actually grow, it's 1,800 acres a year of chipping potatoes for potato chips. And we've got two areas of production. One is in Cass City and in the Thumb. And then our second area of operation in Mid-Michigan is straight west of Cass City, about 50 miles in Hemlock. So our land base covers quite a footprint. We're producing in five different counties. And so we travel quite a bit. It's pretty common to have a distance between fields of up to 70 miles. So we're scattered throughout central Michigan. All we do is grow potatoes for chips, and then everything we do grow is storage. We don't do any fresh crop to producers or processors. Everything is stored in either Cass City or Hemlock, and kind of our main goal of our operation here in Mid-Michigan is to deliver potatoes long-term storage. So it's very common that we're in the middle of the growing season for, we'll say, this year's crop in July, roughly, we'll still be wrapping up shipping from the previous year's crop. So that's kind of our pride here in Mid-Michigan, is our ability to store potatoes long term.
And as far as you mentioned, you do solely chipping potatoes. The varieties really vary farm to farm, or do all of Walter's farms typically grow the same varieties?
So our operation here in central Michigan grows just two varieties, a national variety and then Lamoka, as well as we've tried other varieties, just don't seem to be a fit. And then, you know, our southwest Michigan operation has different varieties. So it's kind of regionally, we just have the two varieties that seem to work for us.
And as far as the operation that you work at, could you give me a little bit of the structure as far as what you do and kind of what you focus on and what your job looks like?
Yeah. A firefighter, a jack of all trades. I'm not quite sure what to call myself, but my areas of focus are to make sure that my team is set up for success day to day, year to year, and long term. So I have a full-time team of 12 employees that I'm working with those folks. And then as well as taking care of the team side of it, also work in conjunction with another senior leader on my team to make sure we're fostering relationships with landlords. As I mentioned, we're in five different counties. Not all those acres are owned. So we're making sure to spend time with landlords and make sure that we're setting up win-win relationships with those folks. And then structurally, so I'm managing that team, but then as you go throughout the team, we each have our areas of expertise. I have an agronomist on staff I work with, as well as a shop manager, a shipping manager, and we're all experts in our area of expertise.
And for people that haven't been over to the eastern part of Michigan and seen the land, what is the kind of soil profile and climate profile that you guys deal with?
Yeah, extremely variable. As I mentioned, we're spread out, and that's just because we seek out irrigated, well-drained sand, and it's tough to find in this part of Michigan. So that is why our footprint is the size it is. We kind of joke when we're walking fields, if you don't like what you see at this particular spot, take 10 steps and it's going to be different. So it's very variable. It's not uncommon to see just one center pivot and then the field next to it is just heavy clay soils. So it is very variable. In terms of climate, same thing. If you don't like the weather, being a fellow Michigander, you wait 10 minutes and it'll change. The other joke about Michigan weather is Michigan's the only place where you can experience all four seasons by lunchtime. So we do get, good freezes that help with pests and that kind of thing. In terms of climate, some of our biggest challenges would be heavy rainfalls. We do get rain throughout the summer months, but sometimes those can come in bursts of 5. I've even seen an 8-inch rain. So that's pretty challenging to deal with back to the soil. So we have, our field sandy topsoil and then a subsoil of clay. So the fields do struggle to shed that water. So land selection is one of the most challenging parts of my job. But the other climate factor that we really battle and have to manage is the humidity. We get into July and you get 90 degree days with just high humidity. That's where your diseases thrive, your blights and such as those things. So we're constantly making sure those challenges are addressed, as well as just, I do not work well when it's 90 degrees and 100% humidity. It's challenging, but there's also benefits to our climate. I think our ability to store is driven by how our storages will perform in the winter months and our cooler falls and springs. So there are advantages to the Michigan climate other than it just being very diverse and, again, changing minute to minute.
Now that's funny. I mean, growing up here, we all dealt with the hot, humid months in the summertime. And then I always heard from people that lived out west or whatever, it gets 100 degrees, but it's a dry heat. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I went to Las Vegas for the first time. I'm like, oh, there actually is a difference. That it does, when it's humid like that, it does get very oppressive. So,
yeah, one of the other challenges from a climate, that is a blessing on a hot, humid day is, we do struggle to get, sunshine 365 days a year. So that does have an impact on the ability. Some years we've attributed some yield loss just to lack of sunshine. Now on that 95 degree day, you're praying to find a cloud so you can cool off.
Mm-hmm. As far as, what can you tell us about the rotational crops that you guys are a farm with? What do you grow when you're not growing potatoes, and do you typically go in a 3-year cycle, 4-year? I mean, what's customary?
Yeah, so we only grow potatoes. So in our off years, and we vary from a 3 to a 4 year rotation, depending on the landlord or who we're partnered up with. But we're solely focused on potatoes. So in those off years, all of our rotational partners are growing corn, soybeans, some dry beans. Sugar beets is really big in this part of Michigan. There's quite a few dairies, so silage corn, alfalfa, that sort of thing. As well as we've seen a expansion or growth in the organic side. So your corn and beans, there's way more organic operations now than there used to be even 5 years and especially 10 years ago.
And that is a big agricultural area over there that you're in. You just named a handful of crops. Was there any others that are predominantly grown in that part of the state?
We've got a few, they call them pickles, cucumbers grown. But other than that, I don't know if I mentioned wheat, but those would be the big hitters.
We're going to take just a quick break here for a message from our sponsor. Do you struggle with black spot or pressure bruise in your potato crop? The team at 1-4 Group has a solution for you. Their biocontrol 1-4 site has proven time and again to be the best sustainable option for delivering high quality potatoes. Incorporate 1-4 site into your existing storage program for unprecedented success. Learn more at 1-4group.com. And now back to the podcast. And let's switch a little bit to your history. What is your background? Did you grow up in that area? Did you always know you wanted to go into ag?
So yeah, great question and one I'm really passionate about. I've been in agriculture my whole life. I joke around and tell everyone I'm a retired dairy farmer. My parents had a dairy farm that the day I went to college, they decided that they were done milking cows. I'd like to think they lost their best employee, but I'm guessing that's not entirely true. But yeah, like I said, I've been in agriculture my whole life. After college, I went to college not really knowing what I wanted to do. But I enrolled and was going to be a lawyer. And about 2 weeks into just being away from home and the farm, I realized that agriculture is all I know and all I'm passionate about. So I immediately switched to a degree in ag business management. Ironically, the farm I manage is literally 1 mile away from where I grew up. So I'm still, you know, at home, so to speak, which is something I'm also very passionate about, being surrounded by my family. So after college, I got an opportunity to work seasonally for Walther's just as a helping harvest. And going through the challenges of a potato harvest and getting to work with the Walther team was an eye-opening experience to the importance of team and culture. And I specifically remember asking, and it was probably more like begging, the farm manager at the time of the operation I'm at now, you got to find a spot for me. I knew nothing about potatoes, but I knew that the camaraderie and the teamwork was something I wanted to be part of and eventually someday lead. And so fast forward 13 years and here we are. It's been an interesting and just, I would say, at times overwhelming experience. Been an ag my whole life, but zero potato history. In those last 13 years, I think I have yet to see one year that's similar to the rest. It's a very unique, especially given Michigan's climate, challenging field to work in.
If for somebody that would be in your situation that maybe they want to get an ag, there's an opportunity in potatoes. Going back 13 years, what do you think the biggest... if you could talk to yourself 13 years ago, what piece of advice would you give yourself based on the knowledge that you've accumulated?
Oh, be sure to listen and never be afraid to try. As I reflect back, you know, I certainly had so much to learn because I did not know anything about potatoes. The only thing I really knew how to do was work hard And so I took that and used that to my advantage and just made sure to put in the extra effort. And it's important to, again, listen. And then ultimately what really helped me in my journey or my career so far has been to seek out strong mentors, you know, and that person could be someone maybe of the same age that's just got more experience, or it could be someone that's been growing potatoes for their whole life, and just, you know, sit down with them and listen to what they have to say, because like I said, 13 years, none of them have been the same. You take somebody with 45 plus years experience and maybe they've seen a thing or two that, that could help in the future.
Now you mentioned mentorship, which is interesting because going back a year, you participated in the Potato Industry Leadership Institute, or which is known as PILI, in the industry. And you were actually voted as like an outstanding member of your group, which is impressive because you've got 20 odd people, you know, and who want to learn more about being a leader and furthering the industry, and you're kind of the one that stood out. What did you take out of that whole experience, and what did you learn? I mean, how do you feel like you're a better team leader now?
So my PILI experience was life-changing, for the better, obviously. I've been through some leadership training and professional development, but none to the level of what the PILI program does. You can certainly tell that that program has been refined to be as impactful as possible. It's certainly a whirlwind. You know, I go back to the first day and you're in a room, like you said, with 20, I think we had 23 folks in our class. You don't really know any of them. You're all strangers. You've kind of got one thing in common, and that's potatoes. But you're forced out of your comfort zone, which for some is really hard. But then when you fast forward to the end of the experience, it's just this tight-knit group of folks that have been through something that is just in terms of professional development, huge. Lori Richards, very impactful training there. Our trip prior to the fly-in was actually in the state of Michigan. So I had a sense of pride in showing others around the state, you know, things that our state has to offer in regards to potato production. But the biggest takeaway I had, other than development of just great relationships with friends across the country and the ability to pick up the phone and get an opinion from those folks, was the flying itself. It was a really awesome opportunity to be able to see how that whole thing works. I mean, to where you're taking your issues and you're making sure that you're communicating those to the elected officials. You know, that to me was, I didn't know that side of it. And it's certainly an important side to make sure that your issues, your industry related issues, are being heard by those that are, you know, our elected officials and setting regulations and such. So that there was kind of two sides of it. The professional development, very good, sharpened skills and will forever be beneficial in my career. But then to participate in the fly-in was the most impactful, to see how basically DC works.
And you also joined the Michigan State Commission last year as a commissioner. You know, you've been with Walters a decade and change now. What kind of prompted you to start putting yourself out there a little bit more? Was that something that they kind of encouraged you to do? Did you express that you wanted to get more involved in that role? Kind of what's the background there?
I would say it kind of comes back to one of my mentors, just following in his footsteps, the previous farm manager. I filled his seat, so to speak. on the commission. That being said, I've always had a, I would say, passion for leadership, whether it be a church board or, you know, just making sure that I, like the Peely thing, you know, I had a personal goal to maybe be the grower leader of that group. Leadership is something that I'm passionate about. I have so much to learn yet about it, but it's something I enjoy. And so to get on the commission here in Michigan was, I guess, one, to be a leader in the industry for sure. But then two, it's important to make sure that a commissioner such as myself is making sure that the needs of our growers in the state are being met, and to have a voice for not just the organization I work for, but for every grower in the state, and to keep everybody's interests, best interests in mind.
And kind of on that note, you know, coming off the DC trip, and, you know, you're representing other growers, and in your estimation, from what you hear from your fellow growers, from what you experience yourself, what are the biggest issues facing agriculture producers right now, and how do you see that changing in the coming years?
I think there's two hot button topics that I think are really staring agriculture in the face right now. One specifically for the operation I manage, labor. Labor is very challenging due to our size and the seasonality of our operation. We utilize the H2A program with contract labor. And it's important that programs like the H2A program are in place, but there's certainly work to be done there. So that's going to be an issue when addressing the adverse effect wage rate and the impact it has on the cost of production, as well as some of the timeliness that it takes to use that program, whether it be, you know, you need to have your contracts filled 6 months prior to needing those employees, or whether it's, I mean, we're farming, so weather impacts our, when we need those team members. So some flexibility would be greatly appreciated within that program. And the second one is, I mean, it's a been a buzzword for a while, but sustainability, I think, is a really big thing that all agriculture producers have been doing. You know, being an ag my whole life, there's things that have certainly changed in, since I've, you know, in my 37, the end of this month, years on this earth. But I think sometimes the average or the American farmers doing these things, but maybe not communicating it. So it's important that the consumers know that ultimately, if we're not using sustainable practices, we're probably going to find ourselves not able to continue farming, whether it's, you know, we deplete a farm field or do things that are having a negative impact on the environment, those kinds of things. So specifically, two areas within Michigan that are hot button topics in sustainability are water and then phosphorus. And I think those two issues are being looked at very closely, and both are very important in the production of potatoes, but I think it's very critical that as regulations are changing or being put in place, that everybody, including the consumer, understands that, you know, we need these things and we're doing our best to do more with less. And I just think it's critical that we make sure that story is being told.
No, absolutely. And we're coming off, we're taping this the week after Potato Expo. I don't know if you had a chance to sit through any sessions there, but that was a big topic that, you know, it's like you said, it's a lot of these growers are doing these things because it's good for the environment and it's good for business. The less water that you use, the less chemicals that you use is going to help your bottom line. But the challenge there is, you know, telling that story. So whether it is to the consumer or to the, you know, the elected official. So, you know, I think that's just great that you're doing that. And, you know, that's an area that hopefully that, you know, our trade publications and things like that can help you guys do. But switching notes a little bit, let's talk a bit about the potato itself. What are some of your favorite ways to eat potatoes? Don't say chips.
I can't say chips.
That's an easy out.
If I can change your question a little bit, one of the best, I was in a trade show and the question was asked, what's your favorite potato? Well, it's a sold potato is my favorite potato. But I like all potatoes. I'm not, there's nothing I don't like. That being said, I would, if there was a lineup of chips and a baked potato and all that, I'm going to grab that bag of chips.
Oh, absolutely. I was kidding on the chips. I love chips more than anybody. I just wasn't going to give you the easy out and, you know, just give a layup and promote the industry, but you can't beat a good potato chip. Well, we've covered a lot. I think this is a good place to wrap up, Guthrie. Again, Guthrie is part of our Spudman Dream Team Awards program. And a big reason that he's being honored is for his work with Pilly and getting himself out there more and being a leader. And congratulations on that, Guthrie. We're thrilled to give you, you know, whatever recognition that we can and tell your story. And thank you for coming on. Any parting words?
No, I just thank you, Zeke, for your time today and sitting down and talking potatoes. And then also, I greatly appreciate the recognition of being a member of the Dream Team. So it is quite an honor. Thank you, sir.
Well, you can find the Spudman podcast at spudman.com/podcast or wherever you get podcasts. So tune in again next time and we'll talk to another potato grower soon. Thanks, Guthrie.
Thank you, Zeke. Take care.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks again to 1-4 Group, our sponsor. Be sure to go check them out at 1-4group.com. We'll see you next time.